That's all very cheery. But the message might not be. No, it's... So, God is so good. This is a little bit out of order, and it actually is from the Torah portion that James spoke from last week. And I noticed that, in every Torah portion, there's about five different topics that you could choose from to preach a message. And thankfully, James preached the message last week, so I didn't need to. But there were some parts of that scripture, that Torah portion, that just kind of wouldn't let me go this past week. And so we're going to look there. And oh, you have to excuse me because I'm away for the weekend. So I don't have access to my computer. I don't have access to my printer. So today, yeah, I'm kind of winging it. So I have like handwritten notes. And here's the other thing. I don't have a lot of, where I'm staying, I don't have a lot of bookmarks. So you're going to have to bear with me as I go through the scriptures in this during this little lesson. So this morning, we're going to look over at Numbers chapter 11. We're not going to read a whole lot of it because we're going to be going here and there in the scriptures. So once you're all there, I'll start reading. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word, Lord, that you would, as you always faithfully do, allow your word to come alive to each one of us. I may be speaking one thing, Lord, but you may be speaking something else to the people who are listening, Father. And that's how we grow, is when we listen for your voice, when you're speaking to us, Lord, about any portion of Scripture, and we are so in awe of your sovereignty in our lives and how you speak specifically to each one of us. And we bless you, Lord. We love you and we thank you for this time that we can all gather together and hear your word. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. So chapter 11 begins with this. I'm just going to give you a little reminder of where the children of Israel are. They are, they've left Mount Sinai. They're going to be on their way to the Promised Land, right? That's where they're headed, from Sinai to the Promised Land. Okay, so keep that in mind. So in verse 1 of chapter 11, we read this. Now the people began complaining openly before the Lord about hardship. When the Lord heard, his anger burned, and fire from the Lord blazed among them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was named Taberah, because the Lord's fire had blazed among them. So I will say that this really isn't the first time that the children of Israel have complained since they left Egypt, and it won't be the last time. And before we laugh, my complaint this morning to the Lord was not my first and will not be my last. But prayerfully, we complain less and less as time goes by, right? Because I will tell you, there's a cost to complaining. There's a cost to murmuring. And the cost often can be very great. So on that note, we're going to continue here. Well, the first thing that I started thinking about was exactly what complaining is. And this was before I looked it up in the dictionary. And the first thing I thought about is that when we complain, we are reflecting in words a discontent, right, in our hearts. Okay, and that plays out in, you know, there's other words for complaining, like murmuring, like griping, I don't know, fill in the blank. There's a lot of words. But complaining is in a category all its own. It really, when we complain, we're kind of saying to the Lord, I don't like what you're doing here. Yes, and that's exactly it. It's a lack of trust, because I'm actually going to get to that place in a few minutes. So it is, it's a lack of trust. And what happens is if we don't corral our complaining, it becomes a habit. And then once we have this habit established, it can be our undoing. Because that's where we default to, is complaining. And you can be that type of person who, well, right now we got a little rainy sky out there. But yesterday was a beautiful blue sky, right? But you could be the type of person that will see that beautiful blue sky, and over there is this tiny little cloud, and that's where you put your focus, on that tiny little cloud that could soon obscure the sun. And it probably won't ever. But that's where your focus goes. If you have a complaining spirit that's not kept in check. And complaining of that sort is most definitely a sin. When I was writing out a few notes this morning, actually, I thought of our dear sister Lois. Remember Sister Lois of blessed memory. Here's what she always said. I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. I love that. I love that. So we're going to go from, this is all we're reading in Numbers for right now. So we're going to go over to Exodus 16. I don't have a bookmark there, so I'm going to have to find it. Exodus 16. And the children of Israel are obviously, they are in the desert. They have not yet arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai, where God blesses them with the instruction. So in chapter 16, verse 1, the entire Israelite community departed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt. The entire Israelite community, the entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Entire. And I want to say that often complaining is contagious. One person starts complaining, and then that gets in your ear gate, and you start thinking, yeah, you're right. And you start complaining alongside of that person. And then somebody else hears you, and they say, yeah, both of you are right. And they start complaining. And you know, the next thing you know, you've got an epidemic of complaining. So we don't want to be those that start an epidemic of complaining. So when the entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, this is what they had to say. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. When we sat by pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted, instead, you brought us into this wilderness to make this whole assembly die of hunger. We shouldn't be laughing. Don't laugh too hard, because guess what? That's us. So don't laugh too hard. So Moses, think of all the complaining that he's heard so far and will continue to hear in the 40 years that they end up in the wilderness. But right now, it's the very beginning, so maybe he's a little optimistic that they won't always complain, especially because God is going to meet all their needs, because he has faith to believe. So Moses responds to them, and, well, okay, so the Lord says he's going to rain bread down from heaven for you, and, you know, the people have enough for each day. He gives them the instructions about collecting the manna and all of that. And so Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, this is verse 6, this evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, because in the morning you'll see the Lord's glory, because he has heard your complaints about me. Wait, wait, look in your scriptures. Is that what he said? Is that what Moses said? That he has heard, the Lord has heard their complaints about Moses? No, heard their complaints about God. Because then Moses said, because who am I that you should complain about me? I have no power. Why are you complaining about me? It's not up to me to supply your needs. Who supplies your needs? The Lord. So you are complaining to the Lord. Then he goes on to say, the Lord will give you meat to eat this evening and all the bread you want in the morning, for he has heard the complaints that you are raising against him. Your complaints are not against us, meaning myself and Aaron, but your complaints are against the Lord. So keep that in mind. If you are discontent with something in your life, and it brings you to the place of complaining, question yourself, is what I'm complaining about, am I really indirectly blaming God? Are my complaints against him, whatever it is that you're complaining about? So that's a good question that we need to ask ourselves, because we can actually be grumbling against God. And this is a little bit of an aside. I think of our grumbling. I think of my grumbling as an individual. I think of the grumbling of the children of Israel throughout the Old Covenant scriptures. I think of the grumbling of people who are redeemed of the Lord throughout, you know, the last 2,000 years. And I am so in awe of God's patience with us. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, that doesn't excuse us from asking forgiveness for our complaining, because as I said earlier, complaining can become a habit if we don't keep our mouth in check. So I want to look over at Psalm 106, 25, another place where I don't have a bookmark, so let me get there. 106:25. Well, we're going to start in 24. I'd like to read all of this because it's all about the children of Israel and their complaining and their kicking against Moses, really kicking against the Lord. But it comes up to this point in verse 24. They despised the pleasant land and did not believe God's promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not listen to the Lord. So we can draw this conclusion here that they did not listen, they did not obey. And so grumbling leads us to disobedience. And it also leads, as Sylvia said earlier, to a lack of trust in God. And so if we continue in that kind of habit or lifestyle of complaining, it's again, it's complaining against God, but it's sort of perpetuating a lack of trust. And it's perpetuating disobedience. And as soon as we cut off our thoughts and our mouths from speaking complaints, God is merciful to us. And when we ask for his grace to reestablish our feet on the rock of his truth, that we may trust in him and not complain, that changes everything. But we have to do that with a whole heart and with all of our soul. And so here was a really very cool thing that I had discovered in my study of complaining. That the people who wrote the Psalms, whether it was David or another author, they wrote out their complaints in the form of a prayer to God. So let's look at Psalm 12. We're just going to read the first two verses, and this happens to be a Psalm of David. So here's what David does with his complaints. First of all, help, Lord. Where does he go? Who's he addressing? He's addressing the Lord. Here's where he goes with his complaints. Help, Lord, for no faithful one remains. The loyal have disappeared from the human race. They lie to one another. They speak with flattering lips and deceptive hearts. So here is the complaint of his heart and soul, and he's writing it out and speaking it to the Lord, where we need to bring it. Instead of whispering it or even shouting it to the closest person, we take it to the Lord. I bet I can write a really great psalm because I'm pretty good at complaining. However, the book of Psalms is closed, so you'll never read it. It will just be between me and God, where it should be and where it should stay. So I loved that. And, you know, there were several places in Scripture where the prophets also complained, but they complained to the Lord. They declared it as the Lord spoke things to them. Let's turn over to, we're just going to look at one, Jeremiah 20, 7 through 8. This is his little prayer to the Lord. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. There's his complaint. You seized me and prevailed. I am a laughingstock all the time. Everyone ridicules me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I proclaim violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has become my constant disgrace and derision. He's saying that all to the Lord. He's not saying this to someone else. He's saying this all to the Lord. And you know, I have to say that one of my favorite portions of Jeremiah is Jeremiah 20, 11. Because then he goes and he declares this. But the Lord is with me like a violent warrior. You know, somebody had a Spanish Bible and they translated it to me, and it read this way: for the Lord is with me as a mighty, valiant warrior. And I've always remembered that, because when I feel weak or when I feel attacked, I remember those words that God is with me. And he's not, he is with me as a mighty, valiant warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Since they have not succeeded, they will be utterly shamed, an everlasting humiliation that will never be forgotten. So there was Jeremiah's way of complaining to the Lord, again, you know, to the Lord, not speaking to another human being about, you know, how he feels in his heart. He's speaking these words to the Lord. And then the grumbling continues throughout the Old Covenant scripture, but we're not going to look at every single place where the people grumbled, although we are going to go back to Numbers 11 towards the end. But we're going to turn over to John 6. Now, many of you may remember that John 6 is where Yeshua speaks of the bread and the wine. And he gives some pretty hard words to the people of Israel, words they don't understand. So he speaks first in John 6:35. And he says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 41. Therefore, the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Yeshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Yeshua answered them, saying, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. And I'm going to stop right there because Yeshua answered their grumbling by chastising them and saying, stop grumbling. Wait until you hear the whole story. Stick with me to the end, and I will share the whole story with you. And that will put an end to your grumbling. But we know further down this passage, I'm not going to go there, but we know that there were even harder words that Yeshua spoke to the children of Israel that they did not understand and they would not receive. And it says in this passage further down that many of his disciples, this is verse 66, from that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. We have to stick around for the whole story. We can't let our grumbling and our complaining about our misunderstanding or our lack of understanding keep us from the treasure that God has for us. So I want to share with you what the word grumbling in chapter 6, how it is translated in Strong's Concordance. Grumbling is translated as generally a grumbling of smoldering discontent. Ooh is right. That's a lot stronger than just discontent. This is smoldering discontent. This to me is a lot more damaging, because when I think of smoldering, I think of a fire that's getting ready to be all-consuming, right? So the way Yeshua, of course, we know Yeshua doesn't speak Greek. He didn't speak Greek to his followers. But the word he had to have used in Hebrew had to be very close to this Greek word. Otherwise, it would not have been translated that way. Smoldering discontent. Our complaining can consume us if we are not careful to keep not just our mouths in check, but what does Yeshua say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not like those words don't come from someplace else. They're not formed here, they're formed here. And so, as Sim always likes to say, set a guard over my heart, Lord. And somewhere else in the Psalms it says, set a guard over my mouth and a watch over my lips. And that guard over our heart, so that those words of complaining and murmuring and grumbling don't come forth. So let's turn over. Oh, I do think I have a bookmark here. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. And we're just going to look at two verses here. Um, 14 and 15. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. That's very interesting, that those are the two things that Rabbi Shaul says will keep us blameless and pure. If we just don't grumble and argue. Do you see that? It says, do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure. Grumbling and arguing keeps us from being blameless and pure before God. There's a consequence. Because we are supposed to be, we are supposed to shine like stars in the world. We are supposed to shine our light, shine the light of Yeshua in us, like the stars that shine. When do the stars shine? They shine at night in the dark. And we have to be those lights that shine in the darkness of this world. Well, how's one of the ways we do it? By not grumbling and arguing. By not having a complaining spirit. So, what do you think the antidote is? What's the antidote, do you think, for complaining? Praise? Absolutely. What else? Anything else besides praise? Would you say praise is rejoicing? Yeah. Rejoicing. And what else? Gratitude. Gratitude and rejoicing. If we set our hearts and our minds on being thankful and praising the Lord and rejoicing, how can complaining come out of our mouths if we spend our time in a spirit of gratitude and a spirit of praise? We'll give no place to the enemy if this is how we spend our time speaking. So we read here in John 6 and Philip, and you know, there's more places that we could have gone, but these were the two places where one of the articles that I researched spoke about these two particular scriptures. Let me make sure that that's the only one that I have here. Yeah. That talked about that spirit of complaining. And so I went back to Numbers 11 when I was finished with all of this. And I was thinking about the children of Israel complaining. And I'm reading through 11 and how faithful God is. Oh, that's the other thing that keeps us from complaining. If we remember God's faithfulness to us. And, you know, because that's the whole retelling thing. We retell ourselves. We remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, of all the great things that he's done for us. That's the other thing that will keep us from complaining. Forgot about that. So, because I was looking at all of this, you know, the quail and how faithful God was in sending the quail and the manna and, you know, giving thanks for the provisions that God provided in the wilderness. And so after all of this, then in verse 12, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses. And they said, does the Lord speak only through Moses? Does he not also speak through us? What would you say that was? Complaining. Pride. Yep, a whole lot of stuff all rolled into one. Jealousy. Yes, murmuring. And so what happens with that, I'm not sure why only Miriam had the leprosy. I don't know. I have no explanation. I didn't spend a lot of time pondering this. You know, I will say one thing, and I have no idea what Miriam said other than her little complaint. But ladies, you know that we are the ones, far more than the men, that yap and yap and yap. And we are likely, more likely, to gossip and complain and murmur, and you complete the list. I'm not saying that's what Miriam did, but I'm saying we're prone to that. That's part of our DNA. All right, now wait a minute. Now wait a minute. But I will tell you one other thing. Hold on. And I may be sorry I asked this question. How many of you came to faith because a female shared their faith with you? Two. All right. Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you know, we use our mouths for blessing as well. It's not just complaining. So I felt like I had to redeem the sex I belong to. Yes. So, all right. Then the very next chapter is when the 12 spies go out. The 12 spies go out to take a look at the land. Absolutely. And 12 men came back, and 10 of them did what? Complained. And 2 did not. Caleb and Joshua did not complain about what they saw. The other 10 men complained about what they saw. Well, I didn't. I'm not making a joke.
We're as disappointed as you
Okay. All right. So listen. Because this is really serious. The 10 men that complained. See, I think that was not the first time they complained. No, listen. We're all in the same boat. Man, woman, male, female, we're all in the same boat. We are all subject to the same sins, but we're also all, we have the potential for redemption. And that's the most important thing. So when you go back through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and you see the pattern of complaining, it really is no wonder when they got to the land and they saw the bounty of the land, didn't they? They saw the bounty. They brought back this humongous cluster of grapes that needed a huge pole and two men to carry it back. Right? And then they said, oy vey, what we saw you can't even imagine. And they had enough influence. And here's the thing. The 10 men were speaking to a whole bunch of complainers back in the camp. And so, what did I say about complaining? You can cause a... Yes, but you can cause a pandemic of complaining, and they did. And so what happened? None of them got to go to the promised land. The cost of their complaining caused them to wander in the desert for 40 years, and only the two that didn't complain, they saw the same thing that the 10 complainers saw. But they trusted God and his word that they could take down the enemies in the land. That was promised way back in Genesis. And it was retold to all of them year after year, generation after generation. But they saw with their eyes instead of their hearts. They listened with their ears instead of their hearts. If they had listened to Caleb and Joshua with their hearts, I think there would have been a revolution against the other 10 spies. I'm just saying. But God didn't intend for them to wander in the desert for 40 years. That was not his intention. Remember, from Kadesh Barnea to the promised land was 11 days away. 11 days away. Instead, it was 40 years. A complaining spirit. There's a cost to a complaining spirit. Makes me think about all the complaining I do and, you know, what prayers might have been answered if I had just zipped it. Or written it like King David did. Or written it like Jeremiah did. To the one person who would listen with compassion. And then follow that by a prayer. Okay, Lord, here I'm laying out all my complaints. Will you give me the grace to walk anyway in this situation, this circumstance? Will you give me the grace to walk in it? Will you give me the power to overcome what I'm seeing, what I'm sensing, what I'm feeling? Will you give me the power? And what do you think God's answer to that prayer would be? Yes. Yes. He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk with him. That's what the psalm says. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And if your heart is to walk uprightly, he won't withhold those good things from you that would keep you from complaining and stumbling. There is a cost to our words. And most of us have already lived out that cost. But we don't have to continue living out that cost. Because God is good and his mercies endure forever. So Lord, we bless you. And we have an entire scripture of your mercy and your grace and your goodness and your kindness to those who have gone before us. The patterns that we see in scripture, Lord, that we can learn from. Learn what to do and what not to do. But we need that spirit of grace. And we need that spirit of truth. And we need your power and discipline in our lives, Lord, to walk uprightly as you have called us to do. Because my complaining can affect the person sitting right next to me or standing right next to me. And I want to be a blessing to the person next to me. So Lord, I pray for all of us, Father, that we would do what we can to watch the words that we speak and who we speak them to, and remember that you are the only one that has a compassionate ear and won't judge our words, Lord, when we come to you with a heart of grace, a heart of gratitude, a heart of praise, and a heart of love, because that's who you are. You are a God of love, a God of mercy and compassion, a God of great patience, because here we still are, Lord. You are a God of great patience. So we bless you, Lord. We honor you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we have at our disposal your instruction, your Torah, to teach us your ways that we may walk in them. And all God's people said, amen and amen.